Today we're going to be thinking about change. It's all around us, isn't it? And Isaiah 9, the next bit of the series we're looking at today, kind of has this idea that change is coming. Change is in fact here. But I wonder how you feel about change. Change can be sudden, can't it? And also quite slow and gradual. And I remember when I was at All Nations Christian College studying, they were explaining how change and transition are different. And this is something I've worked through with interns and some staff members to try and help understand how we process change and transition. And change is that kind of external event, that situational thing that impacts us and something has an effect in our lives as a result. We'll think about a few examples in a minute, but then transition is this slower process, this more psychological internal thing that takes time and is what the kind of effect of change has over a period of time. And as I think about that, we see that change is something that we're all experiencing at multiple levels. And it's not always easy. It's actually quite hard. I was camping a few weeks ago, as you may know, and part of camping is pitching a tent and putting it down. And it took 2 or 3 hours to get the tent up, get the room sorted, all the luggage from the car into the tent, and we're all set. We could sit back and relax. A holiday was going to start. Taking it down was quick, sudden. Change was fast, to the extent that the guy in the neighboring tent said, "Wow, you got that down quickly." And little did he know the impact of the ongoing change that was going to happen as we drove home, scrammed full with all the bits and pieces in our car. And as we then did 8 cycles of washing and had to get the tent out to dry in the garden the next day because it was raining the day we packed up the tent. Actually, although initially it was sudden, there was this long, slow process that continued until we were back home and up and running again in our house, able to rest again. And as we think about change, it can be sudden. And that can be good, but it can be bad and hard, and it can be gradual. And as we think about COVID-19, we're very aware that things happen suddenly. Suddenly there was lockdown. Suddenly we couldn't go shopping the way we normally do. Suddenly our lives and every aspect of our life was impacted. And then we've had this gradual easing, this slower change, this transition of figuring out how to do life, how to do church. But change isn't easy, and many of us find it hard. We can be excited about positive change, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, and gradually novelties wear off. Think about in the life of Barton over the last just few weeks, we've had all sorts of things happening. People have got married, babies have been born. People have got new jobs. They've talked about moving away and us saying goodbye. University students are planning to go to university, but quite what that looks like is unknown and unsure. People have had furlough and that the furlough details changing. Finances are being impacted. People are made redundant. Relationships have broken down. There are issues in any number of areas. People have lost loved ones. And this is tough. This is hard. And these changes, these external things that have happened that impact us, we find difficult because we can't control them. And as we come to the book of Isaiah, we see that actually the people of Judah can't control what's about to happen. This sudden change that is coming, this judgment from God, this invasion from the Assyrians and then later from the Babylonians is going to impact them in a huge way. And it's going to be something they can't control. And it's happening because of their sin and their wrong. But often change happens and it's not to do with sin and wrong. It's just life, isn't it? But it doesn't mean it's easy. And as we go through life at the moment, there's so many layers of change at a society level, at a kind of family level, at a church level, possibly at an emotional level as we grieve and as we figure out what we're losing from the old way of doing life to what life is turning into at the moment. And as we now look at the passage that's been read for us, as we think about change, what we're going to see is change, more change is coming. But in fact, a great change is coming. But also change is here. And for us, if we believe in Jesus, that's all, not all bad news. In fact, it can give us hope. It can help us to have joy. It can give us peace and freedom. And it can answer the deepest questions of life that we have. So the first few verses are about change that is coming for the people of Judah. And in Isaiah verse 1 to 3 of chapter 9, if you've got it, look at it there. It talks, doesn't it, about nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. Change. No more gloom. No more darkness. No more fearful gloom, as it says a few verses earlier in chapter 8. But instead of distress and gloom and darkness and this kind of humility of the past or of the near future, there will be a glory and honor for Galilee of the nations. We read or we heard that the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, will no longer be a place of humility and darkness and gloom, but instead of light and glory and honor. You might think, well, I don't know where that is. That's the north part of the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, where the top end of Judah, really. And actually, that was the area that Jesus was born into, the coming from Galilee, grew up in Nazareth, up in the north. He was born down in the south at the heart of Judah, but up in the north. And so from the very place that was first to be invaded by the Assyrians in the north would then be the place of the light dawning, the hope coming for the people of God, for Israel, because that would be the place that Jesus would grow up and begin his public ministry, which would be for the Jew and the Gentile, the ethnic people of God and those that would be blessed from all humanity. So change is coming. And for the people of Judah at the time that Isaiah writes, that's because judgment is coming. But this isn't a chapter about judgment. This is actually a chapter about the hope of God coming to be with his people. And so we see that in this gloom, darkness, we have a light shining. In verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And so change is coming, but change gives us hope. And it depends what our hope is in as to kind of what kind of a level of optimism we might have or what level of confidence and assurance we have. But change here is one that we can be full of certain hope, because it's about truth and light being revealed. This is positive. This is change for the better for the people. So whilst at the moment they're confronted with judgment and a form of punishment for their sin, here we find in chapter 9 the great hope of the tide changing, change coming, and hope. And hope being the reason for joy. In verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Get that word there, joy. And then it's repeated three times in verse 3. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice dividing the plunder. So change is coming, but change gives hope. And we see hope fleshed out through the fact that hope gives a reason for joy. Whatever the circumstances you're in, the circumstances that the people of Judah were in this chapter were horrible, were dark and gloomy. Judgment was coming. There was fear and anxiety and destruction was on the doorstep. But they could have hope. And Isaiah could say, you can rejoice in your time of change. Why? Well, because three things would be fulfilled. And this comes back to that promise that Abraham had received in chapter 12 of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. We find here, firstly, that you have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. So there is a time coming for the people of Judah when their nation will be great, that the numbers will be great, just like Abraham was given that promise that you'll be the father, Abraham, of many peoples. You'll be a great nation. And secondly, that the land would be great. Well, there's a reference to harvest. As people rejoice at the harvest, there's plenty for people to eat. There's joy and celebration because there's food. There's prosperity in the land. There's a reason for joy because of the population growth, because of the harvest, the prosperity of the nation. And as warriors rejoice, dividing the plunder, because there's peace, there's victory. After victory comes enjoying the plunder, the kind of benefit of overpowering your enemy. And so that Abrahamic blessing of a great nation in a great land, being a great blessing, being prosperous and at peace. Here we see it fulfilled. But you might wonder, well, how on earth can we relate to that? Because for them, there's this threat of punishment, and then this promise of joy to come because of the hope that God is doing something. How does that relate to us? Well, we're looking forward to a time of great joy, because Jesus has said he'll return. And actually, if we kind of think forward in our understanding of what the Bible says, and we think of Revelation chapter 21 to 22, we get the end game. We get a sight of the picture of where things are going. And there are seven no mores in chapter 21 to 22. There's no more sea, that kind of image of chaos and evil empires, because in the book of Revelation, from the sea comes these evil empires. There's no more sea. There's no more death. There's no more mourning. There's no more crying or pain or curse and night. All those things of darkness and sin and evil are gone. And instead, in verse 3 of chapter 21 of Revelation, they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Verse 5, I am making everything new. Change is coming for us. One day, we won't be having to juggle and deal with all the difficult changes to our circumstances. Death of loved ones, ill health, loss of work, damaged relationships. The difficult change that we're threatened by, that we're all dealing with because of COVID-19. The changes that we are frustrated by and caused to be anxious because of. We have a hope of a time when that will be gone, because God will be with us. And what is chapter 9 about? It's about God being with his people. But so far, we've seen that change is coming, and hope is described, really, and hope is described, and joy is kind of described and pictured through harvest, through victory in battle, and through the growth of a population of God's people. But then as we kind of look a bit more closely, we see that change is here in verse 4 to 7. So three times in this particular prophecy, we get the word four. In verse four, four is in the day of Midian. And then verse five, actually, if some of the translations have it, for every warrior's boot. And then verse six, four to us. So we get three reasons as to why we can be a people of joy and hope. And this is what they are. The first one, change is here because this change brings freedom. And for the people of God, what we find Isaiah doing through God's spirit in him is pointing back to Midian. Now, in the book of Judges, Gideon overcame the Midianites who were oppressing the people. Gideon was the savior figure. And so here we have, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. This shattering of the heavy burden of the tough change, of the punishment that is coming via Assyria. And then the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, is shattered. It's gone. The people are given a reason for joy, and that reason is that freedom is being promised. When the people were in Egypt, before the Exodus, they were slaves. And this image of slavery of the people of God is one that's used for us in our slavery to sin. But that's been shattered, that's been removed, and we're called free people if we believe in Jesus. We're called free if we because we're not claimed by the environment that we're in, the changes that are happening, the struggles of the now, because we put our hope and our joy in something greater, one that's overcome sin and freed us from it. So the first reason is change brings freedom. The second is that it brings peace. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. The end of war. There will be peace because there'll be no more battles. It'll be over. And so with the people of Judah, as they await the attack from Assyria first, and then some respite before they're attacked by the Babylonians and taken into exile, here they have the promise that in spite of that judgment, there will be a time when the battles will be over. There'll be no more need for a boot to wear for the warrior. No more need for garments that will be covered in blood. Those days will be over. And this is pointing to a time that is now explained in verse 6. For the third reason, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the change is this. God is with us. Just like in Revelation 21, God with his people. We see it here in this famous Christmas reading. For unto us a child is born. What is the way that God will bring freedom? That God will bring peace? That there'll be no more war, no more suffering? Well, it's through a child. It's through a child. It's through no ordinary child, no ordinary name, no ordinary job. So let's explore that. In verse 6, for us, a child is born. So this is one of human descent. To us, a son is given. So it's a gift given of God, a son, royal line. The government will be on his shoulders, a kingly ruling role, because he will bear the responsibility. He is coming to stand up for his people and proclaim justice and righteousness. So here we have a child, a son, who will be like a king, will be a king. In Luke's gospel, we actually find a bit more about this, don't we? We find a kind of fulfillment, as it were, of this very reading. I'm just going to read it. It's Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 says this. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So to us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. This is the reigning king. How do we cope with change? We cope with change by the fact that God is with us through Jesus Christ coming, being born of a virgin, living a perfect life, dying a perfect death, rising again in victory over sin and evil and suffering, so that we have the hope to come of that change that we're waiting for, his return, so that God will be with his people and there'll be everything that is renewed, all of creation. So there's no ordinary child. I a few weeks ago went and did Go Ape. And then if you've done Go Ape, it's great fun, high ropes through the woods. And I went off with my son to do the high course, and the kind of middle level course was done by my youngest, Joss, who's only 4. And we all like to think our children are special, don't we? And well, I definitely think she is special, because she managed to complete the course, the bottom age limit that you're allowed, just tall enough to do it. And she stood there shaking. But she completed the zip wire, the kind of stepping on the planks in the right way, carrying her kind of carabiner across the course. She did an hour of it. Sometimes it was tough. And she said to me when she got down to the bottom, when I was scared, Dad, I remembered this. God is with me. And I thought, I've got a special child. She's cracked it. She's 4 and she knows God with her. Wow. And we all think our children are special, don't we? We want to kind of magnify their greatness, and we're proud of them, and there's something good about that. But we can think that our children are special. But this child is the special one. He is no ordinary child, because he is the Son of God. He has no ordinary name. And the name that we come across here, Wonderful Counselor, is really significant. This is his qualification. This connects him with God. Because a few chapters later in Isaiah, the Lord Almighty God is used, the name is used, Counselor, for him. So as this prophecy talks about this child that is coming, saying this child that's coming is divine, is the Lord, the God of Israel. Not only is he the Wonderful Counselor, he's the Mighty God. That word mighty is used not as a kind of hero figure and that's it, but as the divine God who is the hero, the savior of the people that were in slavery in Egypt. This is the same God who is to be born as a child. And then everlasting Father, that kind of isn't about the fatherly nature of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, but more about this one that's the coming King, caring for his subjects with compassion and kindness. And then finally, Prince of Peace, his impact, his role will bring peace on earth. This is the child that is to be born. God with us. No ordinary child, no ordinary name, and no ordinary job, because he will fill the boots of King David and fulfill everything that's been promised from books like 2 Samuel 7, where the prophecy is of a coming king who will be on the throne forever. This child fulfills it. And so as we read chapter 1 of Luke, and as we maybe have heard this often in our Christmas nativities or carol services, wow, this is who is promised at a point of destruction and judgment for the people of Judah, and how they needed a message of hope. And this is what Isaiah delivers them from the very words of God to them and for us. So what does that mean for us? How does that help us when we're in the middle of change right now? How does that help us move on? As we've thought about change coming, we know that because our destination is heaven, and one day Jesus will return and it will create all things. How does that help us right now in the here present, when change is all around us, change is hard, loss is very clear and evident? I want to suggest three things that we can do as practical next steps. And the first one is, if you're asking questions about faith, about what Isaiah is all about, you're not a Christian yet, but you want to find out more, I want to say, don't let change get in the way of you getting to know Jesus. Ask the question, who is Jesus? It's a question that we find in Mark's gospel in chapter 8 really clearly. And the crowds are going, who is this? Who is he? Is he a prophet? Is he Elijah? Who is he? And he turns to his disciples and he says, who do you say I am? And Peter, one of the disciples, says, you are the Messiah. And this passage here says that. And if you're not convinced yet that Jesus of Nazareth, who was born of the Virgin Mary and described in the Gospels as living and doing miracles and teaching and then dying on a cross and rising again, if you're not convinced, I'd say read the Gospels again. Ask questions. Talk to someone that you know that's a Christian and find out more. But don't let the changing circumstances around you at the moment, your loss of job or your new relationship or your concerns about COVID, whatever is going on that is hard, don't let that stop you. Address the most important question, which is, who is Jesus? And as you discover his identity, allow him to reveal the truth of why he did what he did, by dying on the cross for you and for me. So as well as thinking about how we respond if we're looking into Christianity, I want us to think now in response, as we also pray and sing, about who Jesus is. And if you're a Christian, there are two areas, the final areas that I want to mention. One is to keep going and growing through the changes that you're in. And the second and final next step is to offer hope to someone else who is going through the changes that they are in. Let me give you an illustration to help. Last week it was the British Grand Prix and Lewis Hamilton won it, but he did not win it in any ordinary style, because in the last lap he had a puncture and he had that horrible feeling. It was as if it was in a film where suddenly all goes wrong and the person in the lead is being lessened and they don't quite make it to the line, except for he did. He had a puncture and he managed to complete the lap. But he did so with huge stress and sweat, and that sudden change to the condition of his car caused real concern to him as a driver and the team. But he had the team in his ear through the headset saying, it's okay, you've got a sufficient lead, you're going to make it, keep going. They were offering hope. They were saying, you are able to do it. They were with him in a far greater way. God is with us. Whatever changes surprise us and come as a sudden thing out of the blue, whatever is going on, whatever uncertainties that we're surrounded by,
God is with us. This was the promise that was given to the people of Judah, but realized in Jesus' birth, in his life, death, and resurrection. And then following his ascension, God sent the Holy Spirit to fill us. We have God with us. Not just the person of Jesus in the Bible that we read of, who is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit within us now. So you can keep going in the changes that you're facing. And as we put our hope in this Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, we are able to cope with the challenges and changes around us. And as we cope, we can offer hope to others, not in ourselves, but in the fact that Jesus can help them, is with them. And one day, all things will be new. So I'm going to pray now that we would be a people of hope, growing and coping in the changes, but also offering hope to others because of who Jesus is. Lord God, I pray that we would be a people of hope, of joyful hope in this time, that amidst the changes that are going on all around us, the uncertainties of life, we'd be able to know that God is with us, that you are with us. I pray for those in the congregation, in the live stream that are listening now, that are really struggling in life, that have got all sorts of challenges, that your Spirit's presence would minister to them, that they would know Jesus, who is able to overcome the struggles of life, who is able to be with us and remind us of the hope of heaven, that one day Jesus will return and make all things new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.